Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, as we come round to the Word today, we're going to continue with part three of our series that we've been doing called The Day in the Life of Jesus. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, particularly the practical aspects of it. And we see that wherever Jesus went, He radically touched and transformed the lives of people. We see that He healed sick people. He provided where there was great need or great lack. He also showed compassion to hurting people. And Jesus brought restoration to broken people as well. In fact, wherever He went, He brought hope, encouragement, and life. And I believe the Lord wants to bring the same to you wherever you are watching today. We're going to read together from Mark chapter 10 from verse 46. And the Bible says that then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and His disciples left town, a large crowd followed Him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said, "come on, he's calling you." Well, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." Interesting, that word that Bartimaeus uses to address Jesus, "my rabbi," is the same word that Mary Magdalene used at the tomb of the resurrected Jesus when she saw him. It's a word of deep reverence and honor. And then verse 52 says that Jesus said back to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and the Bible says he followed Jesus down the road. Here we read of this guy called Bartimaeus, and it's interesting that the Bible actually mentions his name, because in almost all of the miracles of Jesus, the person's name is never mentioned, and it may well be because of Bartimaeus having such respect and reverence for Jesus. The Bible also says that he was blind. We don't know if he was born blind or if he became blind somewhere along the journey of life. We probably assume that he wasn't born blind, because the Bible is normally quite specific in mentioning that. And, you know, perhaps you can relate to this today. You may not be physically blind, but perhaps you've lost sight or you've lost vision for your life. And maybe you've lost sight of the future that God has for you. Maybe you've lost sight of the Lord's good plans for your life. Maybe you've lost sight of your God-given purpose, and maybe you're just confused about where you should be going or where you should be headed in life. The good news for all of us is that Jesus can fully restore sight and vision. So let's have a look at a few thoughts from this passage of Scripture today. Firstly, we see that Jesus stops for anyone who calls on His name. The Bible says that there was a large crowd following Jesus. There would have been a lot of noise, a lot of talking, a lot of discussion, probably a whole lot of laughter as well. Everyone was headed on this road towards Jerusalem for the Passover festival that was about to take place. So for Bartimaeus to be heard above the noise of the crowd, well, he had to shout really, really loud. And his shout was not a shout of anger. It wasn't a shout of frustration. It wasn't a shout of arrogance or boastfulness. It wasn't a shout that was demanding his own opinion to be heard. It really was a shout of desperation, a cry of mercy, as the Bible says. But the wonderful thing here is that the moment he shouts for Jesus and the Lord hears, Jesus stops where he is and turns his attention to Bartimaeus. I read a story this week of a 43-year-old Dutch woman. Her name is Wendy de Waal, and her story really is like that of many other people in life. She grew up in church. As a teenager, she lost her way, and when she was about 20 years old, she met a guy, she moved in with him, and they decided to live together. But she says that he had a lot of power over her. He would manipulate her. He was incredibly jealous, and he began to become abusive towards her. He would verbally abuse her, and eventually he began to physically abuse her as well. He broke her nose on one occasion, and Because of this bad relationship, she says she became very insecure. She developed a low self-esteem. She also became addicted to painkillers and other substances to deal with the pain and the grief of this relationship. But none of that worked, and eventually she became so desperate that she considered taking her own life. But I love what she says in her story. She says, "In my despair, I cried out to Jesus." She says, "And right at that moment, the Lord spoke to my heart, saying, 'I've got a hopeful future for you if you will put your trust in me.'" You know, reading that, I realized again, as we see in the scripture here, that Jesus stops for anyone who cries out and calls his name. And, you know, I had this thought in the week. It's amazing to think how busy the Lord must be at any given time. If you think even right now in the world, right now, someone in America is being encouraged by Jesus right now. Someone in Russia is busy being healed through the Lord's healing power. Someone maybe in France is having resources provided for them when they've had great need or lack. Perhaps someone in Australia is being comforted by the presence of Jesus now because they've lost a loved one. And maybe there's someone in Kenya for whom God is busy working out all things for their good because of their love for the Lord. But the very moment that someone calls out to Jesus, he stops and he responds. And so when you or I call out to the Lord, know that that very moment Jesus stops and you have his attention. But not only does Jesus stop, secondly, Jesus responds to our cry for help. We see of Bartimaeus in the scriptures that he was a blind beggar. That means he would have been the lowest of the low in society. Not only did he lack physical sight, but he lacked resources as well. He lived in poverty, and so that's why he's busy begging beside the side of the road. And I think in many ways, his life probably represents the state of humanity. Most people in our world are spiritually blind. People are impoverished by sin. They live broken. They live depraved. People live desperate. And Bartimaeus fully recognized the state of his wretched condition. He was helpless. He was completely hopeless. There was nothing that he could do for himself or to change his condition. So instead, he turns to the one who can change him, the Lord Jesus. Charles Spurgeon once correctly said that blindness and beggary are the lot of all men until Jesus visits them in love. You know, in October 2011 was the tragic story of a 2-year-old girl from China. Her name was Wang Yu. And the story tells that she was struck by a van in a parking area in a hit and run. She was left for dead there. All this was captured on camera. She was then, while she was lying there, half dead, she was ignored by 18 people who walked past her. Some even deliberately went out of their way to avoid her. The story says that she was then also struck by a second van that also did not stop for her. Finally, she was helped by a 58-year-old female garbage collector. But by the time they got her to the hospital, she was already declared brain dead and died as a result of it. And, you know, because all this was captured on camera, they managed to get a hold of a lot of these people who just walked past her. And one guy in particular, when he was asked why he didn't stop, he simply responded by saying, "Well, she wasn't my child, so why should I bother?" You know, I think sometimes in life, we also get knocked down. Things happen that we didn't see coming. We find ourselves in a desperate situation, and it can often seem that no one cares or no one responds or that we get overlooked. But can I just remind you today, Jesus is not like those people. When he hears your cry for mercy, your cry of desperation, he always stops, but he always responds as well. He will not ignore you. He will not overlook your circumstances, and he will not just pass you by. That's what the Bible reminds us in Psalm 34, verse 17. It says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." In Psalm 50, verse 15, the Lord says, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you." I wonder today, what is troubling you in your life? What are you lacking? What do you need healing for? What is causing you to be emotionally burdened today? What do you need mercy for? What is perhaps causing you to forget the goodness of God in your life? Max Lucado, the Christian author, you know, summed up life when he put it like this. He said, pieces don't fit, wine runs out, water bottles burst. These are the facts of life. But Jesus responds with this invitation, bring your problems to me. The third thing we see here is that we often encounter opposition before great opportunity. The Bible says that Bartimaeus, sensing Jesus coming past, begins to call out to Jesus. And it's interesting that he's immediately silenced by the crowd. Those around him say, hey, shh, be quiet. You're being rude. Where's your manners? Be quiet. But Bartimaeus has clearly heard about Jesus. He's probably heard that there's this guy going around who touches people's eyes and heals them from blindness. He's heard from others, and knowing that it was the Passover and everyone is going to Jerusalem, he's probably thinking, if I waited this place here, he'll probably come past this way. There's an opportunity, he thinks, and I'm not going to miss this. And so when those around him try to silence him, he begins to shout even louder. He presses in further. He becomes more desperate. His passion increases. And, you know, I think sometimes we're guilty of doing the exact opposite when we face opposition. Rather than pressing in further, rather than leaning in, we tend to often withdraw or hold back, and we can think, oh, you know, maybe it's not God's will for me to get breakthrough. Maybe it's my own fault I'm in this position. Maybe God is punishing me. Maybe it's just my lot in life. But can I remind you of the great words in Hebrews 4, verse 16, where we are told that it says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You know what I love about Bartimaeus is that although his eyes were blind, they were still open to opportunity. And I believe even in this crazy season of lockdown that we're in, there is still great, incredible opportunity all around us. I think the Apostle Paul recognized this tension between opposition and opportunity when in 1 Corinthians 16:9 he writes and says, there is a real opportunity here for great and worthwhile work, even though there are many opponents. Notice opportunity and opposition. And I think very often the two go hand in hand. But I believe if we're prepared to push through the opposition that we face, there is great breakthrough on the other side. T.D. Jakes, the great preacher, says that you face your greatest opposition when you are closest to your biggest miracle. I wonder today, what opposition are you facing, maybe in your personal life or at work or in business? Can I encourage you, don't give up. Don't stop calling out to Jesus. Keep praising him. Keep worshiping him. Why? Because restoration is on the way. Can you say amen to that? Fantastic. The fourth thing we see is that Bartimaeus exercised great faith. The interesting thing about this story is that when Jesus hears Bartimaeus calling, he says to those around him, tell him to come to me. Now, it's interesting because think about it. Jesus is not blind. Bartimaeus is blind. You would think, well, surely Jesus would go to Bartimaeus. But he says, tell Bartimaeus to come to me. Why does he do that? Well, I think he was probably testing Bartimaeus' faith, seeing how badly does he want to be healed. Remember, there's a similar story in John chapter 5 where Jesus meets a man at the pool of Bethesda who's been sick for 38 years. Jesus asks him a similar question, do you want to get well? But what I love about Bartimaeus, the moment he hears that Jesus is calling him, the Bible says he jumps up, he throws his coat aside, and he runs to Jesus. And, you know, it was probably quite a comical moment there because here's this blind guy running through the crowd to Jesus. He probably ran into people. He probably knocked over things. He might even have fallen over once or twice. But he keeps going because nothing was going to stop him from getting to Jesus that day. It was evidence of his great faith. Now, the Bible says, firstly, he jumped up. I love the fact that there was an immediate response to the call of Jesus. He was totally obedient to the instruction the Lord gave. He wasn't hesitant. He wasn't skeptical. He wasn't thinking, well, why is he asking me to come to him? I'm blind. Surely he can come to me. No, he immediately jumps up. Then the Bible says he threw his coat aside. Remember, his coat was his covering. It was his protection from the wind, the rain, the elements. But it also represented his livelihood, because the coat is the thing that he would have laid out before him for people to throw coins on for him. And I guess in many ways for him, it was the equivalent of the fisherman's boat for the fisherman. But I love the fact the Bible says he threw that coat aside. Bartimaeus, even though he hadn't been healed, he fully expected that he was going to be healed, and he had already determined, I don't need this coat anymore. This is part of my past. God's going to change me. The Lord's going to heal me. And he threw it aside. It was evidence of his faith. And then, of course, the Bible says that he runs to Jesus. Clearly, he is expecting to receive something from the Lord. He recognizes that Jesus is his only hope, and he's not prepared to delay his breakthrough for a moment longer. Friend, never forget that faith always gets the attention of Jesus. And I think that's probably why Jesus heard the cry of Bartimaeus above all the other noise, because it was a cry of faith. You know, I'm sure there would have been many other needy people in that large crowd that day, but yet Bartimaeus is the one who gets the attention of Jesus because his need had great faith attached to it. St. Augustine once said that faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. Clearly, Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see, but yet he believed. Maybe today you can't see the outcome of your story. Maybe you can't see how things are going to work out or what God is going to do. But if you have faith, friend, victory is around the corner. Victory and the answer and restoration is coming your way. Another thought here is to tell Jesus what you need. You know, Jesus asked Bartimaeus a very direct question. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus' response is equally direct. He simply says, I want to see. You know, I wonder sometimes if perhaps we don't get the breakthrough that we want or we need because perhaps we are very vague in our response to the Lord as to what it is we want him to do for us. You know, when Jesus asked Bartimaeus that question, he didn't respond by saying, Lord, if I could just have some blessing, please. Or, Lord, you know all things. You decide what I need. Lord, if I could just get a little bit of help, or if you could do something for me. No, he's direct. Lord, I want to see. And I wonder sometimes whether we may be a bit embarrassed about our needs, or perhaps pride even gets in the way. And, you know, the good news for you is that God knows your needs anyway. What he wants is for us to be real and direct about the things that we need. So maybe for you today, maybe it's time to be real to the Lord about what you need. Maybe you need to tell God, Lord, I haven't got money to pay my electricity bill. Lord, I need wisdom for this specific decision that I need to make. Lord, I'm struggling with alcohol addiction. Lord, I've got no customers coming to work. You know the story, Lord. Lord, I've got suicidal thoughts today, or Lord, I'm holding bitterness towards that person. Tell Jesus what you need and be specific. Then we see also here that Jesus restores his sight, his vision, and his honor. You know, many years ago, as a young person, I spent a year in the South African Army, and very often we'd go out into the bush at night and we'd do these night patrols and all these drills. And because I struggled with a bit of night blindness, particularly when there was no moon out at night, it was completely dark, and I would not be able to see where I was going. So we'd all be running together, and I'd fall over a rock, or I'd fall into a hole. Sometimes I'd run into trees. We had these big thorn trees out in the bush there with these long thorns. I'd run straight into them, get my face scratched. And so as a result, I became a bit fearful of being out there. Also, I was uncertain of what was happening. I would often hold back in giving my best. And when I think about someone like Bartimaeus, who was not just night blind, he was completely blind, how he must have struggled through life, but then how he must have celebrated that day when the Lord completely healed him. You know, Jesus didn't just give him partial sight, and he didn't just restore one eye so that at least he could half see. He was fully physically restored that day. But you know what? The Lord doesn't just restore sight physically, but he also restores our vision. And you know, when you live as so many people in our world do without vision, You know, you too can give up your hopes for the future. You can stop believing and trusting for more in life. And, you know, like Bartimaeus at the time, the best that he could have hoped for was for someone to throw a few small coins his way each day. But, you know, Helen Keller is someone that you might remember. She was blind, she was deaf as well, but yet she still did great things with her life. And she once said that the only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. I think lockdown has caused many people to lose their vision for the future. The good news is that Jesus is in the business of restoring our vision. He enables us to dream again. He enables us to believe for a better future. He enables us to realize that this season, as weird and strange and difficult as it is, this season too shall pass. There are better days ahead for all of us, and we have to keep moving forward. But Jesus also that day restored Bartimaeus' honor. It's interesting that the name Bartimaeus means son of honor. Bar means son of, Timaeo means honor. He was the son of honor. And although he was named as such, it would seem that blindness, his physical condition, had robbed him of both his honor and his dignity. His life was reduced to that of a roadside beggar. He was unable to work, and I'm pretty sure there would have been many days when he went home hungry because no one would have given him anything. But Jesus completely transforms his life. And I love the fact that for our hurts, the Lord doesn't just put a Band-Aid on it. He healed Bartimaeus' deepest hurt, and he provided for his greatest need. And then lastly, we see that Jesus instructs him to go. The Bible says he says to Bartimaeus, go, for your faith has healed you. Well, where was he telling him to go to? Well, it could have been one of many things and perhaps a combination of all of them. He's saying, Bartimaeus, go live your best life. Bartimaeus, go fulfill your God-given potential. Go live a life of great purpose. Go share your testimony. Go tell people of all the wonderful things that the Lord has done for you. Go take your life forward, because you are no longer a victim of life and you are no longer a victim of your circumstances. A man by the name of John Grasmick, he's an author and a professor of New Testament theology. He says of Bartimaeus, he says, Bartimaeus recognized his inability, trusted Jesus as the one to give him God's gracious mercy, and when he could see clearly, he began to follow Jesus. You know, think about this for a moment. The first person Bartimaeus sees when he opens his eyes is Jesus. Having been in darkness for so many years, his eyes are opened and he sees the face of the Lord himself. And I bet Jesus was smiling. I wonder if Jesus perhaps wasn't even laughing at the miracle that had taken place. You know, it's kind of a picture of eternity for us one day. We live in darkness on this earth, but one day we will see the Lord face to face. And that moment we step through the doors of eternity, the first face we see, like Bartimaeus, will be the smiling face of the Lord Jesus. You see, when Jesus heals and restores, he does so that we can clearly see him as Lord. He does it so we can follow him wholeheartedly, so that we can place our whole lives and our full trust in his hands. You know, as we finish up today, the story really reminds me of the words of the great hymn that John Newton wrote. He was a man who was spiritually blind until Jesus saved him. And he penned the words to Amazing Grace. He said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. And like Bartimaeus and so many in the world, I once was blind, but now I see. I hope that word has encouraged you today.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.